Good morning and welcome to God Talk. I'm going to be continuing today to talk about prayer, specifically, as we'll see shortly, breath prayers, which is the simplest form of prayer. I will be reading from and utilizing the book that I've been talking about for quite a while now that I wrote called The Heart of Jesus and the Coming Relationship. If you're serious about wanting to connect with God, really serious, then, you know, you got to learn how to pray. You have to give God time. I mean, what would it be like if you were serious about getting to know somebody, right? And so you called them, but you did all the talking. Maybe you were afraid there was no one else on the other end of the line, or that maybe what they would say would not be what you wanted to hear, or for whatever reason, you know, people so generally, and I speak from experience, friends, I've served 10 churches over a 37-year period. I've had many hours of conversation about prayer. People think prayer is something you do, right? Not something God does or does with you. It's a human activity. So we tend to think of prayer as something vocal. Or even, I hate to use the word canned, but like the wonderful Lord's Prayer, something we recite, and as if that's it, we've accomplished that. But there's so much else going on in your soul and in your spirit, which you need to learn how to give voice to, as you see in the 150 Psalms, which are really prayers to God. Pretty much every human emotion is revealed in the Psalms, which indirectly gives us permission to be honest to God, to speak our heart to God, and not be afraid of rejection. It's kind of like just stay in communication, and at some point, you're going to find yourself praising God, even if it's only for your sense that God is actually listening. That's actually the answer to the problem of Job. In the book of Job, God ultimately comes on the scene and says, I hear you. Okay, yeah, God. Okay, thank you. I'm glad you hear me. We'll see what's going to happen, but at least I know you that you hear me. Prayer is communication with God in all of its variety. Think of any love relationship you have, whether it's friend, spouse, partner, child. How many different modes of communication do you have with that person? Same thing with God. You know, we can go from distant smoke signals from one mountain to another. Is there a God? I put the smoke up and I'm looking at him, straining to see whether smoke rises from the mountain 5 miles away. Or it can be as intimate as a hug, as an embrace. Or in the case of God, who works within us, I can't even tell you how wonderful it can be. An intimate. So prayer is a development that you need to have a desire to enter into. You have to have a desire for God. Now, for the kind of prayer I'm talking about, I mean, a desire for God, not just the benefits of prayer. So I know people who pray when there is a crisis, when there is a need, when there is something they want, and that's it. I want to teach you, even though God will teach you, we'll get to that, how to pray where really the emphasis is on encountering God. If you really want to find God as the one your heart desires, you're going to have to spend time in prayer. I mean, there's no way around it. It's like time in a relationship. If you're falling in love with someone, you gotta, or desire to do so, you need to spend time with them. There's no substitute for that. Prayer has to become the center around which your life circles. Only through prayer can you find and genuinely connect with God and remain learning, believe it or not, learn how to remain somehow connected as you would be in connection with a loved one, whether you're in the same room or somehow close, so there's that abiding sense of the other's presence. If you've ever heard of Brother Lawrence, this monk from the 18th century, he experienced union with, connection with God most acutely while mopping the kitchen floor of the abbey where he lived. That may sound a bit ridiculous, although I've talked to people who say, while doing housework, silently they have learned that that's a great time to pray. But I will tell you, when I learned the meaning of that, many years ago, when I was in the parish and I got a phone call from a woman parishioner who said that her father was dying, come back into town. I had never met him. He was not a church member of any church, really. And I don't say that judging. Just happened to be the truth. And so he was seeking a pastor, you know, as he was approaching the end. So anyway, I said, sure. So I went to the home and had probably an hour and a half extraordinary conversation with this man. There was a lot to him. And it was the kind of thing that you don't talk about as pastors, but once in a while we're privileged to be there at the end and to pray with people and to go through things in their lives for which they have guilt, for which they need forgiveness, hopes, talking about the beyond. God was very present. Well, I went from that. At that time, our family had a tea shop here in Muscatine, and it was getting on toward dusk, and an employee had already left, and there was all this garbage to bring out. Well, when you own the store, you do what has to be done. So I drove over. It took me two loads to get all this garbage connected, brought downstairs, across an alley, and put into a big dumpster. Well, it hit me, wait a minute, I just came from a home where there was a confession and a God was there, and it was just this wonderful thing that pastors, you know, hopefully get to experience every so often in their ministry. God working, well, you get to be, you feel as if that you're at least being a little bit of an instrument of God. Anyway, and here I'm taking garbage out. But then I thought, wait a minute. I can be just as connected to God taking this garbage out as holding that man's hand and having a long, tear-producing prayer. That's it. Practice the presence of God, no matter where you are. And note carefully, God will teach you how to pray. We learned that in Romans 8. That means God will assist you in developing your relationship. God makes possible what is otherwise impossible, because nothing is impossible for God. Our job is to simply persevere in our desire and in our seeking God in prayer. We sometimes have to show God by our very endurance how much you desire God. We learn that in Luke with the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. The widow keeps after this judge, rule in my favor, until finally he gets so tired of her that it says, to get her off my case. All right, I'll give you what you want. And then Jesus uses that as a model for perseverance in prayer. Wow. Things don't always come easy. And how often are the most important things in life the things that you had to work hard for and show your desire for by your very perseverance? And you've got to give God the time sufficient to turn your monologue into dialogue, your searching into God's finding. Now I want to turn to the easiest form of prayer, which actually doesn't even have to be a prayer. That is to say, you don't even have to necessarily be seeking God directly or maybe even believe in God. They're called breath prayers, breath meditations. I started to talk about them last time, but now we're going to get to them in greater detail. Every semester I taught at Muscatine Community College, I would teach the students in my Introduction to World Religion how to do breath prayers, typically about peace, which is what we'll get to in a minute as our first. And I was, every semester, surprised at the shock of one or more students. Like there was a domain, a space of peace right around them that they had not known about, that made God or peace actually available. Now, note that the word for breath, right? Breathe, breath, air. In Greek, in the New Testament, is pneuma, like pneumatic tires, which is also the word for spirit. So this kind of prayer focuses on your breathing and your breath. And it is as simple as breathing in and breathing out. You do not need to change your way of breathing, for then your attention's going to be attuned to the mechanics of breathing rather than the content of what you are breathing in and breathing out. You know, we're starting thinking, am I breathing too quick? Am I breathing too slow? Am I breathing too much? Am I breathing too little? Am I waiting too long? All this kind of stuff about your breath. Just breathe as best you can, as normally, so you can forget about the fact that you're focusing on your breath. This will become clear here in a minute as we actually get a little bit of a practice or more on a breathing exercise. One of the great advantages of breathing prayers is that it takes your attention off the number one problem all of us experience regarding prayer. You know what that is? Distractions brought about by continuing thoughts, feelings, whatever's going on inside us. The deal is this: your mind never stops doing what the mind is supposed to do, namely think. Even in all five stages of sleep, it doesn't matter, the mind is always working. So in prayer, you must not attempt to wrestle your thoughts to the ground or to stop the flow, the stream of your consciousness. Rather, the time-honored approach among many traditions is learning how to let go. Let go of your thoughts, like letting go balloons. Let them be what they are. Let them go where they go without attending to them. By so doing, there will be moments when the flow seems to stop, meaning when you have been brought into a mysterious patch of time for connection to and communion with God. Let's call that the time between the seconds. So let's begin now with a five-minute breathing exercise. I mean, we're not going to take 5 minutes to do it on the radio show, but I'm going to request that you do this, start 5 minutes, and then you can lengthen it maybe to 10 after a while, and that you do short bursts of prayer, breath prayers, throughout your day, even when there are pauses in the action, so to say. So if you're stopping at a red light, you can focus. You can do a breath prayer. You can go back and do the peace prayer we're going to do now. Just breathing in peace, breathing out resistance, and gain peace right there. Or if you're getting upset about something that's going on, likewise, you can stop a second. secretly so nobody knows or sees, breathe in peace. So let's take a little weather break and then we're going to do a few exercises. Okay, we are back. Now we're going to do a breath exercise or breathing exercise, a breathing prayer. It's going to be on peace. Now, here's what I'm going to request that you do, whether now and or sometime today. Find a quiet place. Sit comfortably in a chair with a good back support. Put both feet squarely on the ground. Excuse me. With your arms maybe resting on the top of your thighs. You want to get physical issues out of the way as much as possible. Don't fight yourself. If you have to go to the bathroom, eat something, whatever it is, you know, do that. And then when you're ready, sit down. And you breathe normally. Do not hyperventilate. As I say, I've done this in college classes, and the results have been wonderful. Simply breathe in peace and breathe out resistance to peace. Breathe in the peace of Christ, which secretly surrounds you. Take that faith that the peace of Christ is there for you in God's gentle silence, hovering about you. And after you breathe in peace, let it remain in you for however long, whether it's a split second or more. After you breathe in peace, exhale resistance to that peace. You got it? Believe in, yield to peace. Take to heart Jesus' words, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Breathe in that peace of Christ, which Paul says passes all understanding. Breathe in peace and just kind of let it, like air, fill your body and feed your soul. And then when you exhale, yield to that peace. Breathe out any resistance to peace. I guarantee you, as you silently breathe in peace, you will come to feel more at peace. Then, as I say, in interludes throughout your day, you can continue to breathe in peace and breathe out resistance to peace. There's a song I love, "Peace is flowing like a river." Peace is flowing like a river out of you and me. The peace of Christ. My peace I give to you. No matter what, the peace of Christ, believe it or not, is always available. We just need to slow down, to stop, to breathe in that peace and breathe out resistance. You see how the focus can be on your breath. So you don't need to worry about distractions or what you're going to do later this morning or tonight. You simply breathe in peace, breathe out resistance to peace. a second breathing prayer, because I just have to go on, but hopefully this is something you can do and practice doing throughout the day. We're going to focus on faith. Faith, which is one of the greatest gifts of God. So you can seek faith. You know, you can't get blood from stone. You can do what the Father did, who asked Jesus right before Jesus healed his son. Man, do I know this feeling. I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I've got some level of faith, but boy, I sure have a level of unbelief. Increase our faith. You can always ask God to increase your faith. The apostles did. The apostles said to the Lord in Luke 17, increase our faith. To which Jesus enigmatically replied, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Well, none of us can do that, so I guess that is a statement. But faith is something. Well, there are really two elements to faith. There's belief and trust, okay? There's the objective element, I believe that, I believe in. And then there's the trust, which is the more emotional, where you really entrust yourself to God. I know back when I taught psychology years ago, we did what's called trust falls. I don't know if you've ever done a trust fall. It's kind of interesting, where whether it's just one-on-one or one person leading back into a group, you fall backwards. And the moment you lose your capacity to stand, that is to say you lose your control, then you are, so to say, entrusting yourself that somebody is going to be there for you. So what you want to do is to breathe in the faith which God puts around us, just like peace. Trust in the God of your life. And exhale its opposite, an opposition. Doubt, distrust. Faith, hope, and love are gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you can ask for more of these three precious gifts, which begin our breathing exercise. Trust in faith. Breathe in faith, sitting comfortably in a straight back chair, again with both feet on the ground, breathing normally. With each breath, breathe in God's gift of faith, which surrounds you like the atmosphere of heaven. And in yielding response, let go of doubt, disbelief. Breathe it out. And then breathe in more faith. And as you get into it, at some point, you're going to find you're breathing out not only former doubt, but growing faith and trust that convicts your heart that all will be well indeed. Let me read this I have written about faith. Faith is a God-made bridge from your heart to heaven, a span immovable, indestructible. Take the risk and venture out, not looking down, but straight ahead toward God's clouded presence. Let your yearning heart energize you to walk to the one who awaits you without fear of failing or failure. Hello? Sorry. I got a call from my wife. It's okay, you know, here I am on the radio, but I've been taught when your wife calls, I don't care where you answer, so. Anyhow, Faith is a hidden knowledge of what is to come, a heavenly manna to daily feed your heart. Believe in, trust that veiled knowledge. Faith is the inexplicable conviction that regardless of short-term outcomes, all will be well eternally. Faith will never fail you. But if you listen, or if you but listen to it, it will make you right with God. In truth, faith is a place of right standing with God. And when you are right with God, fear is reduced to a nuisance, calling at you from below, never able to touch God's hallowed bridge. Breathe in faith. Finally, and with just a short time remaining, we're going to do a breath prayer for hope. And by the way, if you would like to hear this show, I will have it on my website today, drhalgreen.com. drhalgreen.com. And again, this material is really built in a book, The Heart of Jesus and the Coming Relationship, that you can get through Amazon. Okay, hope. I'm going to breathe in hope. Hope always wants to have the final word. You cannot live long or well without hope. Hope lingers on between our breathing in and breathing out. While there is breath in the body, there's always some residue of hope in the soul. And being one of the great gifts of the Holy Spirit, it can and even must be asked for. You can ask for more of it. And where do you place your hopes? This is big. The psalmist says, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. And the writer of the letter to the Hebrews says, we have this hope, a sure and steady anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner shrine behind the curtain. Once, when I was in despair, and without going into the detail, I'd had a rejection from a publisher, and I was downtrodden going to New Mellory. After a walk going to New Mellory Abbey for a worship service where I was leading a group of men in a 48-hour prayer retreat, out of the blue came a puff of the Spirit renewing my hope. I'll never forget it. Didn't see it. It was like, wow. Hope in the Lord. Wait for the Lord. So here's the prayer for hope. Again, breathing normally, sitting as we have suggested. Breathe in hope that always surrounds you, as does the Spirit. And when you breathe out doubt, despair, all those negatives. Breathe in hope. And at some point, you'll discover you're not only breathing in hope, but you're breathing out hope and getting stronger. Breathe in hope and breathe out hope. Well, next week we'll continue, and I especially want to talk to you about how to pray the Scriptures, something that's been central to monastic life for 1,500 years. God bless you. Have a good week.